Praise the Lord. Really, this week, and maybe beginning with the first service and the message that we had, just been appreciating the gathering together of God's people. I don't believe God notices our numbers one way or the other. We do sometimes. We think about those things, but I don't think God sees that. I think that He has ordained in this time, the time of the church, He has ordained that we should worship Him together as a body. That we should come together. You know, as wonderful as it is to have your private prayer time and meditating on the Lord and praising Him, you know, and singing songs to Him, you know, as an individual, and that's wonderful. How much more wonderful is it when we come together in agreement and we just lift up the Lord? He's commanded it, and He takes such joy in it. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Before we go too much further, we do have a couple of prayer requests that we would like to take before the Lord. This is, again, something that God has commanded that we would do, and that there is great power in our agreement together for these things. I don't think anybody here is going to say, oh, I don't agree with that prayer request. I think we all agree, don't we? Is there, you know, I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise their hand, but you hear what I'm saying? We're all in agreement. As I read these requests, we're not one heart here has anything in it other than desiring these prayer requests be met. There's not any heart here that doesn't extend their love towards those who are suffering and doesn't grieve for them and grieve with them. So we're going to take these two prayer requests to the Lord. And Ray, if you wouldn't mind just joining me here and standing with me. Why don't we all stand together as we pray here. You heard the one for Charlie there. Why don't you go ahead and take that one. Yeah.
Lord, we just come to You tonight on behalf of our brother Charlie Cox. And we know that his desire would be to be here with us, present, Lord. But, Lord, he has suffered in his body. And, Lord, a report today that, Lord, that he has an infection or a trouble in his blood. Lord, we just come to You, Lord, because You are the great physician. You are our healer, Lord. You, on the cross, bled and died, and by Your stripes we are healed. And so we lift up our brother to You, Charlie.
Amen, Lord.
We call on You and Your power, the power of Your Holy Spirit, to even now, Lord, touch Charlie.
Yes.
Touch his blood, Lord. Cleanse it, Lord. We pray that You would make it whole, Lord, that there would be improvement, Lord, and life that comes from You. We claim it in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we have a prayer request here from the Luff family for Bo. I think most of us know Bo. He has received an injury, a small shard of metal in his foot, and it's going to have to be requiring surgery. So we want to pray that God will have His hand on that. And that things will go well there. Lord, we remember Bo and the family, Lord. We love him, and we would have him to be whole, O Lord. In our hearts, we just desire that you would heal him, O Lord, by whatever agency, Father. If it's by the hand of a surgeon in the medical field, Lord, that's just fine with us. We just pray, Lord, that You are the healer.
Amen.
And it is You who will enable and empower every aspect of this, old Father. We pray that You'll send Your life into him, that the healing will go quickly, that it'll be quickly back to full strength, Father. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Two more as well. Lord, we just lift up our brother Tim Ulmer, who has an ear infection that is causing him much pain tonight, and he's in the room. Lord, we pray that you would deliver him from that, O Lord, that you would take away this infection, Lord. He's traveled many miles. His desire is to be in complete fellowship, Lord. And Lord, we pray for your healing touch on him even now, Lord, as he's in his room. We pray that, Lord, that you would clear this thing up completely for your glory, in Jesus' name.
And we have a prayer request here for Chuck Thomas that he's sick in the hospital with colitis. So let's just lift him up at this time. Father, we remember our brother. We pray, O Lord, that you will touch him where he is, where even as he's laying in that sick bed, Lord, you'll lay your hand upon his brow, even were, Lord, and impart to him of your life, O Lord, that he would be healed. There would be no place in his body for this disorder, Lord. I pray that you'll be with him, make him very aware of your presence, Lord, that he'll know it is you who has touched him.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps if the musicians will come. Don't get nervous. I'm flipping through my Bible, but one of the verses that I really appreciate, it's in Revelation, the fourth chapter. It speaks of the 24 elders that are before the throne, and they're wearing crowns. But then they regard, I love the indirect way, it's as if the writer can hardly find words, him who is on the throne. They regard him who is on the throne. Do you regard or do you see him who is on the throne? I think we do. I think we do. Even as Isaiah could say, I see the Lord. I see the Lord.
Amen.
So they were before the throne and they worshiped him. They laid their crowns before the throne and they say, and I'll read from the King James, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. He is worthy of our praise. And he gives a reason here. There are many reasons why we might praise the Lord. We might praise him because he has healed us. We might praise him because he has given us salvation and saved our souls and given us eternal life. That he's forgiven our sins. We might praise him because he has placed us in this place tonight with a company of believers who we share so much with. There are many things that he has done for us that we can praise him for as we stand to praise him. But that is not really the reason or the reasons that he gives here. Here he said, the elders say they give him glory. Because he is the creator. He says, For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are created. Now I appreciate that because, you know, ultimately the reasons of God are a little above us.
Amen.
And all we can really say is he has done what he has done for his pleasure or because it was his choosing. And if we can see the beauty of our Lord and the fact that he deserves our praises because he is God. Just because he is God. If he had never done anything for us, we should stand before him and praise him. And yet he's done so much for us. So let's tonight, as a body of believers, praise the Lord together. And perhaps we can start by singing that little passage there. Thou art worthy. Glory to God.
Amen. We praise and glorify thee, O Lord. Thou art worthy of praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy. Name, the name of Jesus.
It's a lovely, lovely name.
The name I love.
It's a lovely, lovely name.
The name of Jesus. There is power in the name I love. There is power in the name of Jesus. It's the name I love. There is healing in the name of Jesus.
Worthy of praise is He.
He is exalted on page 46. He is exalted. He is too high. All hail King Jesus.
Thank you.
God. I believe.
How sweet.
Spirit, I just don't want to break anything here, but I would like to teach you a new song. It's "Let Your Spirit So Dwell in Me."
Amen.
"That Your Righteousness Springs Forth Like a Tree That Is Planted by the Rivers of Water."
Amen.
"And Your Glory Is All That I Can See."
Amen.
Satan wants us to look here and there, but we want to look on His glory.
Glory to God.
But we can't do that on our own strength. We'll get distracted and we'll get tricked. And we'll get following the cool God and want to look good to other people. And we'll get looking at success and that sort of thing. But God has a different purpose for us. And so we pray to Him, "Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth." Because His righteousness springs forth. It's not what we do. It springs forth of the Spirit. It's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit springs forth.
Amen.
It springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water. And the water is a type of the Holy Spirit.
"Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and Your glory is all that I can see. Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and Your glory is all that I can see. Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and Your glory is all that I can see. Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and Your glory is all that I can see. Let Your Spirit so dwell in me that Your righteousness springs forth like a tree that is planted by the river of water, and Your glory is all that I can see.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Glory to you, O God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. My people, do you not know that I do indeed inhabit your praises? Do you not know that I hear you, my people? I have gathered you together in this place for this very purpose, my people, that we might commune together, that you might lift up my name and praise me, and I might reassure you and build you up and encourage you, my people. Let us reason together, my people, saith your Lord. Let us sit down together and discuss that which is before you. Let me give you a vision, my people, of that where I am leading you. Be faithful to that which I have called you, my people. Know why you are here and walk in it, thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Having not been planted, saith the Lord, even by rivers of living water, she may draw from the life that flows from the river, saith the Lord, that ye may grow and prosper and bear fruit unto me. For I have planted you where I have planted you, saith the Lord, for my purpose, and my purpose are ye there. I have set you where I have set you, saith the Lord, and my will shall be accomplished as thou dost yield thyself unto me. Therefore, saith the Lord unto his people, even in this day, draw that life that flows from the river. Grow thou by the life that I do provide for thee, and bear thou fruit, saith the Lord. For thus is the will and the mind of the Spirit unto thee, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We hear you, O Lord.
Yea, for the way is simple.
Yes.
I have prepared it before thee. Yea. Thou shalt hear my voice, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall become more clear to you as you walk, saith the Lord, and you shall know my voice, and you shall hear it. And ye shall submit yourself unto me, and yield yourself unto me, and yield the members of your body to my service, saith the Lord. Yea, and ye shall block out the other voices, and ye shall ignore them, and ye shall not turn your attention to them, but ye shall turn your attention to me. And I will fit you to your place in the body as a particular member.
Yes.
I will take off those things that prevent you from entering into that place in the body, from becoming that which I have ordained you to be, and for fitting in with your brothers and sisters as you ought. I will strip those from you, and they shall fall away, and you shall walk in my ways in a new way, and you shall walk in power, saith the Lord. I shall give you power as you walk in my way, and you shall have authority over all the things that I have promised, saith the Lord your God.
Amen. Oh, sons and daughters of God, as you sing the songs of Zion, it is indeed like the rivers of water that water the mountains and come down into the valleys and water the springs. It is precious in my sight. I am the Lord thy God, and I revel in your songs of Zion. So sing on, O church, sing on, O church, and never let your singing stop, for it is a glory to thyself and to me. Mostly to me is the glory, for I am the Prince of Peace, and I am the Prince of Song as well. So sing on, O church, don't stop your singing ever. Thus saith the Lord to the sons and daughters of Zion.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
All people will be released, saith the Lord.
Yea, I brought them out, that I would make of them a delightsome people, a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Yea, they were not the most, saith God. But yea, I chose them, that they would walk before me, yea, in my ways after my will. Yea, as long as they walked as I purposed for them, saith the Lord. Yea, they were blessed and they prospered. Yea, and my spirit was with them. Yea, but when they turned away, yea, they encountered much adversity. Lo, my people, I say unto thee, I am bringing forth a people, yea, who if would hear my voice and walk in my ways, they shall stand forth, yea, though not many, but a mighty people, saith the Lord. And my presence, yea, shall be with them, and they shall be encouraged and know that the Lord thy God is standing with them, saith the Lord. Lo, I say unto thee, my people, if thou dost choose to walk in the way that I desire, and not after thine own thinking, not after thine own planning, not after thine own ability, saith the Lord, but yea, thou, if thou shalt surrender unto me and walk in the ways that I desire, yea, indeed, thou shalt know of the blessings of the Lord thy God like thou hast never known. Yea, in these last times, saith the Lord, many things are happening. But I say unto thee, if thou shalt keep focus on me, saith the Lord, yea, even though thou shalt see and hear of the troubles round about thee, thou shalt know that the Lord thy God has and is protecting thee, saith the Lord, yea, and covering thee, even as I covered my people, yea, by day, saith the Lord, under the cloud, and yea, by night, yea, I showed them the way, saith the Lord, by my light, saith God. Even so I say unto thee, draw nigh unto me in all sincerity, saith the Lord. Yea, there are things which must fall away from thee, saith the Lord. Yea, that thou would be able to walk, yea, not with the weight, yea, tied around thy neck, saith the Lord. Yeah. But instead thou shalt experience my freedom, saith the Lord. For yea, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yea, not that you would hang on to it for yourself, but yea, that you would give me away to others. Mm. Yea, my children, I have given you gifts and ministries. Yea, my children, use them. Yeah. For I say unto you, you do not know who you could be a blessing to, but yeah. I know. Yeah. Listen to the voice of the Lord thy God. Yeah. When I speak unto you to minister unto this person, whether it's a smile, whether it's a hello, whether it's a, may I pray with you? Listen to my voice. Hallelujah. You do not know what it is I am able to do, my children. So I say unto you, be obedient to what I have given you. Be obedient unto what I have asked you to do. For I have great things to be done. Yea, my children, thou dost not know the blessing that you can be to others just by simply listening to the Lord thy God and being obedient. For I have given you the power. I have given you the authority. I walk inside of you. Yea, living waters will flow out from thy being. Yea, listen to the Lord thy God. Spend time with me. Cultivate that ministry that I have given you. Stir it up. Stir it up, my people. Seek the Lord thy God with all your heart, my children, for I will be found now. Yea, and I can perfect you now. So spend time with the Lord thy God. Have your lamps be full. Be ready to minister. be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you. Mm-hmm. For I am that hope, my children. Mm. Know the Lord your God. Come and know me. I give you invitation. Yeah. Spend time with me. Spend time in my word. Spend time in my Holy Spirit. Yea, allow me to change that human nature. Yea, allow me to lift you up into the heavenlies, that human nature will just fall away. My children, I love you so. Yeah. I love you so much that I gave you my son, Jesus. Yea, that you might be saved, but also that you might spread my word,
yes,
that you might go forth and proclaim the Lord thy God. I have life to give. Don't hold it to yourself, but share it with others.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Most High God,
consider the state of your heart. The parable of the sower. Yea, I have scattered my seed upon you, saith God. Look upon your heart. Do the cares of this world choke the growth in the Spirit? Are there stony places in your heart, places of rebellion? Has the seed fallen on the path where it is worn down by the world? Yea, I say unto you, the gardener plants, he sows. He does not go away and come back at harvest time expecting there to be fruit there. But yea, he tends his garden day by day.
Mm.
Yea, I say unto you, my people, you shall find this time a time of refreshing that shall lift you up. But yea, I say to you, true growth comes in the day by day.
Yes.
Water your lives with my Spirit. Break up the fallow ground of your heart with the Word of God. Root out the things that would choke out growth in your life, saith the Lord your God. Yea, my people, growth is yours. And you know how to achieve this. Dwell in my presence day by day, yea, I say unto you, and consider the state of your heart day by day. Take out those stony places, root out those weeds,
yes,
and break up the fallow ground, and there shall be growth in my people, saith the Lord your God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Praise God.
Amen.
It's so good to be among the people of God, wherever they gather. We had a wonderful time in North Balfour, and still the glow is in us. And I hope this camp will enrich our experience with the Lord. I just wanted to minister on the power of anointing in the worship. We do worship in our church. in our home. But we should be very, very sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Or, in other words, we should know there is an anointing that is hovering over us. Throughout the Bible, from the Genesis to Revelation, we see some form of the power of the anointing on the men and the women of God who stood for God. Tonight, I pray that we will all feel that power and be strong to walk with Him. Without the anointing, we will be weak. It is like the manna in the wilderness. They have to pick the manna and eat it every day for a survival. Because that is the heavenly bread that came down from the factory of God. God prepared the manna for them, and He sent it down to the earth. The people can eat and they can live a healthy life. If you read in the book of Nehemiah, for 40 years they walked in the desert. Nobody was sick. Isn't it something? And their feet was not worn out. The clothes remained clean. I don't know how it was, but that's what the Word of God says. You know, it's because people were led by the hand of the Lord. Praise God. During the day, the pillar of cloud. During the night, the pillar of fire. And they were sensitive to these two pillars. People of God, I just want to remind you this evening, are we sensitive? Are we aware that the same cloud is leading us? Sometimes we forget, don't we? In this busy world, we think we are doing everything our own, running around and doing things and forgetting everything about the cloud that is above us. I was thinking about that. The word anointing or anoint means to consecrate, to separate to a spiritual importance. I'm not talking about the anointing oil back in the olden days in the New Testament. I'm talking about the anointing life that we have received on the day of Pentecost. That actually made a significant difference in the old anointing of the Old Testament and the new anointing of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we know about the anointing, how the high priest is anointed, how the kings are anointed, how the prophets are anointed by the holy anointing oil, which is the olive oil, actually. But once that was poured upon them, they are supposed to be separate, consecrated, different. They are set apart for a different task altogether. I always wondered, Aaron was a Levite, a priest, but once he was anointed by that holy anointing oil by Moses, Aaron is not the same old Aaron.
Aaron stands as the high priest for the people of Israel since then. People of God, we don't have that high priest anymore, but we do have a royal priesthood that is coming from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is Jesus himself. Praise God. His priesthood has been imparted to us. His kingship has been imparted to us. Isn't it something powerful? No matter how significant you are in this world, no matter how you look in this world, the Word of God very clearly says that ye are the chosen generation, royal priesthood, peculiar people, and a holy nation. Once you believe, this evening when we were getting together for prayer, somebody started a song, "I have come to believe." All this transformation, all this transition that took place in our lives, people of God, because one day we gave our heart to Lord Jesus Christ. That little thing that changed significantly. Praise God. It did not stop there. That change continued and still continuing in our life, provided we live under that anointing. I want to minister on that, how anointing is so important even in Jesus' life. When Jesus came to this world, as he ministered, the Word of God says in Isaiah 61 and Luke's Gospel also that I am anointed. Let me read that. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. This actually, Luke takes this from Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before Jesus was born, about Jesus Christ. And this is what he prophesied. This is what Luke takes from there. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Me is Jesus. Because he has anointed me. I would like you to take a special significance or emphasis on the word anointing whenever the word anointing comes. To preach good news to the poor. Anointing makes you to preach good news to the poor. Anointing makes you to pray with the people. Anointing makes you to interact with people speaking about Jesus Christ. Because that is the prophecy. Praise God. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. Amen. Anointing has the healing power. Anointing takes the captives free, sets them free. I'm not talking about the people who are in the prison. We are sometimes captive to our own emotions, our own sins, our own thoughts, people of God. We need deliverance from that captivity. I'm included. No shame to say about it. I'm captive to my own wild thoughts. People of God, we're under the anointing. That will be set free. And we need to be sensitive. We need to be praying, Lord, fill me with that power always. Not one time. You know, when we are prayed over, we come and we pray, and some of you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just one time. Your cup should be always full. You know, you don't have to be always speaking in tongues. You don't have to be always shouting hallelujah. But you know what? You can feel the anointing that is flowing in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to give you some important tasks of anointing, which you already know. But as I was preparing this message, this came to my mind. How anointing is so task-oriented in your life. It is not something inanimate object sitting somewhere in the corner. Anointing is always task-oriented in your life. It wants to achieve something in your life. Are you with me, people of God? Amen. Amen. Number one, anointing makes us aware of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anointed. Anointing comes from the anointed, who is Jesus Christ. It is not something evil spirit trying to play something with you. It is coming from the anointed, our Messiah, the Jesus Christ. Don't be confused. Oh, am I really talking under the anointing or something else? No, you are under the anointing. It is the devil that confuses you. But anointing makes everything crystal clear. Praise God. Anointing separates you from the world, not physically, but spiritually. In other words, I'm going to mention that you are living in a different world altogether. Because of the anointing. You know by the anointing who should you associate with. As Bob just mentioned today, it is not following someone to please someone, but it is to please God. You may not please everybody when you're trying to please God. There will be more enemies than more friends you have because you're determined to please God. People of God, you should remember, as Joshua said, me and my house will serve the Lord. I don't care what you do. This should be a determination. You know, there are many choice that he can make. But this should be a priority. Me and my family will serve the Lord. Because Joshua remembers those 40 years that he traveled along the wilderness, right from the Red Sea to the River Jordan. And he knows all those happened along in the promised land as well. The fighting and conquering and everything. A time came, he says, I and my family will serve the Lord. That is important. Whatever may happen, that decision is very important in our families. I always say this every meeting. Family devotion is the foundation for setting that goal. If there is no family devotion, how can you say my family and me will serve God? Especially those who have young children. I want to tell you that. That is the invaluable spiritual heritage that you can give it to them. Along the way, they might slip or they might fall, but I tell you what, the anointing that they have received when they were children will never be taken out. Because it is very powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1 verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. He anointed us. His seal of ownership on us. Amen. When he anointed, there was a branding done on you. With a seal that Bob is anointed by me. The devil may come and just have a look at it. You know, but when he sees that heavenly seal that is placed on you, devil has no chance but to run away. Are you with me, people of God, that you have been anointed and he has put the seal of his ownership? What does that mean? You don't belong to the world, you belong to him. And put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Just remember, it's only a down payment so far he has done. Just imagine when the full payment of the Spirit is given to you, how wonderful that it would be. Oh, glory to God. Whatever spiritual enrichment, whatever spiritual blessings that you have, as far as the Bible is concerned, it's only a down payment so far. There is a full payment to be done. Which means, in finality, in its fullness, this is not what we see. It is much more deeper, higher, incomprehensible to understanding. So walk under the anointing, people of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anointing heals the physical and spiritual diseases. What's a spiritual disease? Physical, we can understand, right? What is spiritual disease? I don't know. Can anybody? What do you think? Anybody said something? Huh? Complacency, exactly. That we have arrived, and feeling complacent, saying, I've arrived at some point, I don't have to move on. Spiritual pride is a spiritual disease. Spiritual arrogance is a spiritual disease. Spiritual competition is a spiritual disease. You name it, people of God. Under the anointing, everything will have to go away. In order to have the fullness of anointing, you have to yield yourself 110%. If there's 110%. People of God, what I mean is, a fully yielding person will know that anointing can help him. Praise God. Even sometimes our physical illness, we have been praying for years and years, it's not going away. But even under the anointing, you will know the reason for that illness. What did I mean by that? Should I suffer in that illness throughout my life? Maybe. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He was a spirit-filled man. Man of revelations. But yet, entire life, he had to suffer in that thorn of flesh. And what did God tell him? He said, Apostle Paul writes, I prayed 3 times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. What does it mean, really? I mean, it simply means in experiencing the grace of God, even in illness, you will feel the healing. Still, your body is suffering, but when you think about the grace that is overwhelming you, you feel the comfort. Praise God. That's why Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong. Oh, when I am, it's two opposites there. When I am weak, I am strong. What does that mean? When I am weak, when I am humbled, when I realize how wretched I am, when I realize what a miserable life is mine compared to the righteousness of God, I am strong. That's when God interferes in your life. Hallelujah. You know, including Matthew, everybody needs that. We need to realize we are weak. Without Him, we cannot make it a day. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so important to know how each day He's leading us. People of God, anointing bonds you with the Holy Spirit. When you're under anointing, there is a bonding with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Anointing gives you power and courage. I'm not going to go scriptures all over that, but this is what it is. Anointing builds us and makes us steadfast in the faith. Not the scriptures that you know, not the preachings that you have delivered. Those are all good. But without anointing, you cannot be stable. You cannot be steadfast. You cannot be strong. You know, sometimes people think, you know, brethren come and preach, and they are pretty always strong, and they have no problem whatsoever. That's absolutely not right. Probably, I'm the first person discouraged by one word of discouragement. With all these preachings I have done, if somebody discouraged one word, that's enough to put me down for the entire day. You know, that is pride. I realize that is pride. You know, people, we need to be bonded with the Holy Spirit. We need to get the power. Anointing enables us to live in the realm of the Spirit. I'm going to go to that in a minute. Anointing enables you to live in the realm of the Spirit. There are two realms, physical realm and spiritual realm. Even though you are living in the physical realm, you can always live in the spiritual realm as well. Apostle Paul very clearly speaks about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that he has made you to sit with Him in the spiritual realm. I always wondered what it is. How is it possible? It is not physical, people. It is spiritual. It's a realm. It is not a geographical location. It is a spiritual realm which you can always enter in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. That's where you hear the inaudible voice. When you're in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. That's where you understand the incomprehensible. Amen? That's where you'll be able to tread on the unknown territory. That's where you'll familiarize with the unfamiliar situations. The realm of the Spirit is a place where you receive the revelations from God. That's the place your spiritual blessings will flow. How do you get it? How can I go into the spiritual realm? I'm so busy in my job. I know it is hard. But I want to tell you something. In the heart of your heart, treasure that thought. Lord, even though I'm busy in my office, running around, doing things, I do not belong to this office. I belong to you. This office do not control my life. You control my life. You have a boss, I know. Boss doesn't control your life. Your spiritual life is controlled by the anointed one, Jesus Christ. People of God, we should be sensitive to these needs that we have. We have challenges. Day after day, there are challenges. Is there anyone without a challenge here? Don't say, I have no challenge. Challenge waiting outside for you. Because that is how the world is today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anointing makes you holy. Amen. The more you are in the presence of God, glory to God, you are made holy. What does that mean? Am I not holy? I'm not doing anything sinful. I'm not going to do anything. Holiness is something you don't understand everything. Only God knows your heart. I don't know your, so many are sitting, I don't know what's your heart thinking now, even though you're all looking at me. Only God knows your heart. God examines everyone. That's why David said, where am I to go? I cannot escape anywhere. If I go up to the sky, you are there. If I go down to the waters, you are there. Where am I going to go? It's better to surrender to you, give my life to you, and expose my life to you. And say, this is what I am. Rather than giving some lame excuses, people. Expose you to God. Say who you are. God respects that. That is holiness. Every day, trying to come to the presence of God and accepting what you are. Probably repenting every day for what you have done, what you have said. That is how you're becoming holy. Anointing sets us free. That's very important. Anointing sets you free. What does that mean? Am I not free? I'm not in a prison or somewhere. I'm free. That's true. But you know what? You're prisoners to your own thoughts. You're prisoners to your own bitterness. You're prisoners to your own unforgiveness. You're prisoners to your own hatredness. You're prisoners to your own jealousy. You're prisoners to your own envy. People, we have to lay everything on the altar so that the holy fire may consume all of these from us. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. On that altar, when the animals' parts were kept, it has to be burnt into ashes. So also, all these that we go through have to be burnt by that holy fire. And nothing is left. It's hard. It's easy to preach from the pulpit. It is hard. But I want to encourage the brethren in the Lord. People, we are called by Him. We are chosen by Him. And we need to take the step forward. Anointing introspects our life. Introspects meaning taking an inward look, taking a self-analysis, or reflecting our life. You know, I want to tell you, anointing is not all over by prophesying and singing in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and receiving healing. And that's all good. They're all parts of the anointing. But most importantly, anointing should also make you to look into your own hearts and analyze your life, reflect your life, introspect your life, and then the Holy Spirit will guide you how to go about. Amen?
Amen.
People, we are living in precarious times, if I may say. There are voices, counterproductive voices. It looks the same. It sounds the same. But there is subtle difference in it. Unless you're led by the Spirit of God, unless you are heavily anointed, you will not find the difference from the worldly religious system. Amen? May the anointing help us, people of God. John the Apostle was in the island of Patmos. I'm going to just take that one thing. How anointing should lead to your own reflection in your life. John the Apostle was called the Revelator. He's called John the Divine in some traditions. John is called as the Apostle of Love. John has so many pedigrees. But one day, everything he has to lay aside when Emperor Domitian had to banish him to the island of Patmos. You know, all along he had apostles with him. Here, he's all alone at that island. You know, one thing about the Bible, like everything that we have in the Bible, names of the place and people, everything can be verified. There is no, you don't have to find, oh, this looks like not right, something mysterious. Everything is clear. Patmos, still a place in the western Turkey, in Asia, is still a place. And that was the place where he was taken to, a small island. Now, imagine, I want to think about the churches which are small. We all have small churches anyway. But I want to tell you this, people. Don't be discouraged because we are small in size. Apostle John was all alone in the island. He was punished for his faith. Hallelujah. On the Lord's day, the word of God says, he was in the spirit. Amen. That did not prevent him from remaining under the anointing. The previous Sunday, perhaps, he was with the other apostles or other disciples. The next Sunday, he's all alone in there. That's a traumatic experience. What am I doing all alone here? Aegean Sea is roaring in front of him. And I don't know where he was hiding, probably in a cave or something. And I want to tell you something. This is the time John the Apostle received the anointing. Glory to God. He was not distressed. He was not sad. Not discouraged. Instead, he waited upon the Lord. On the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. He began to see vision. He saw the Messiah standing behind him. Oh, glory to God. And the Spirit of God told him, write the letters to seven churches in Asia Minor, today's Turkey. You know what happens? John, it's all true, you're a beloved disciple. It's all true, you're a revelator. It's all true, you're a great disciple of Jesus Christ. But now, you're alone. You're to submit to me. The Word of God says, he almost lay dead. That's what it says. Right? Hallelujah. You know, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Let me read that. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why was he there? Because of the word of God. Because he bore testimony of Jesus Christ. Tradition says they tried to kill him in many, many ways. Gave him to wild beasts. Wild beasts won't touch him. Do you believe that? Amen? Because this is the man and the anointing. The animals have no power to touch the man of anointing. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God, people of God. It looks incredible, but it is true. It is true that God protects the anointed people. No matter where they are, what country they belong to, how they look, anointing is important for the people of God. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. This is what the message was. Write on a scroll what you see and send it to seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. You know, even today, all these seven places are there in Turkey. Unfortunately, there is no church anymore. Nobody there. Maybe a few Muslims running around here and there, but there are no churches. The church established by John, maybe even Paul. Praise God. You know, what I was I'm impressed to really say this to you. When he was in the Spirit, or when he was under the anointing, he was transported to a different realm. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And he saw someone like Son of Man among the seven golden lampstands, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with the golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like white wool, like wool and white snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, the church, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. You know what happened? He fell at his feet dead. Glory to God. Because he could not handle the sight of glorified Jesus Christ. Mind you, when Apostle John was with his master Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel, 1 John chapter 1, it says, I am writing these with experience. I have touched him. I have seen him. I have heard him talk. The life that appeared before us. But here he is seeing and anointing a different Jesus. He is seeing a Jesus who is walking among the seven lampstands. He is saying, glorify Jesus Christ. Oh, people of God, under the anointing you will see the invisible things. The things not that you have seen in the world. You will see the things of heavenly beauty. That is the power of the anointing. In order to do that, Apostle Paul fell dead. In other words, I would like to put it in my own language, he completely surrendered. Lord, I am no longer the revelator. I am no longer the John the Divine. I am no longer that disciple of your love. I am nothing. I am falling flat, completely at your feet, take over my life. Hallelujah. All these words I said from my own pocket, it is not from anywhere. Because that is what we need to do. People of God, the time comes. We have to fall at his feet and say, Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, I'm nothing. Unless you pour out some life in me, I will die. People, we all need that impartation of life from this anointing, because anointing imparts life unto you. You observe, none of the brethren here talk stories and make you laugh and make you cry. We try to divide the word according to the Spirit of God that gives to us. To encourage you, to build you up, to make you strong. That is why we have come, people. Every one of us here, it is to strengthen each other, encourage each other, to build each other, and not to put down anybody. is not the quality of the anointing. The quality of the anointing is encourage each other. Amen. Amen. When someone falls in life, let's say, it is the time not to laugh. It is the time to pray with that person. Remember that person. I appreciate when Bill said that. Is there anyone disagree to pray for this person? You know, that question looked little. But that's a very, very important question. People, we need that support. We need that build up. We have to be together. We are marching together, aren't we? Glory to God. We are destined to arrive at a place together in His time. And we need to hold on to one another. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Have you seen the documentary how the elephant family is going? Have you ever, anybody has seen the documentary and you know how the aunt elephant, mother elephant, and dad elephant are trying to take the little ones along them and putting under them and going together. They don't leave any one of them behind. It is human beings are the one who leave everybody behind. Not even the animal world. You look at that. People, if that is so, how much more you and I who have received the power of anointing from heaven. May God help us, people of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul, as I told you, when he was taken up to the third heavens, the paradise, he heard the inexpressible language. He heard the language of the angels, perhaps. It was told to him, it is forbidden to be said about it. And when he, you know, one thing I will tell you, the more we are, if I may say, experiencing the spiritual attainment, if I may say, or the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we sing in the Spirit, more we prophesy, or more we think we have attained a lot in this camp meeting, that is the time that we should humble ourselves. Because God has filled you with the Spirit. Not to be puffed up. Not to receive some sort of a pride, which we all have. Brother Matthew has. People, we need to be crushed by that hammer of God. Glory to God. Oh, I need that. I need it many times in my life. That hammer of God should crush you. We love to complain in the church. You know, this happened and I could not do that. I wanted to preach today and, you know, all these things. People, pray to God to be crushed by the hammer of God. Praise God. I tell you, being in the realm of the Spirit is much more important than all those things that you do. Are you with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. When anointing is upon you, God begins to minister to you in a powerful way under the anointing. There are two ways of listening, people. One way, under the anointing. Another way, like in a lecture hall. There are two ways of delivering a message. One, like a professor delivers his lessons. Another, under the anointing. That's why Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. Amen? They all have ears, but you know, there was an anointing in there. People of God, we have come to an hour such as this. Our walk should be more serious. Our calling should be more serious. Because we are His people. We are called by Him. Not just for name's sake. There is a purpose in our calling. Not anyone here, including the smallest to the most matured one, here without a purpose. You all equally belong to the body of Christ, members to each other in particular. And you're to figure out, Lord God, what am I to do in this wonderful body of Christ? That is exactly what I'm talking about. Remaining under the anointing. Oh, glory to God. As I said to you, anointing makes you special. Praise God. John saw under the anointing something. You know, he had seen Jesus in the Transfiguration Mount. Remember that? But here, it's completely different. He never expected Jesus in this way. He was glorified Jesus. Oh, glory to God. When Ezekiel was under the anointing, the glory of the Lord, when he saw it, he fell face down and he heard the voice of God speaking to him. People, we should hear His voice very clearly. In our homes, in our ministry, we should hear His voice in crystal clear terms. Then you know exactly where you are going. Praise God. Praise God. Daniel was an anointing. Amen. And in all these situations, they were all alone. Daniel was the company of his brethren in Jerusalem. And now he's alone here in his room. And here he's an anointing. And what happened? He had no strength left in him as he was an anointing. There is no word anointing given there. I'm trying to use that word here in order to emphasize when you are in the presence of God, when you're waiting on God, you will feel His power resting on you. Oh, glory to God. Let that power rest upon us, people of God. Oh, glory. When you are under the anointing, revelations of God begins to flow. These men were anointing, and the revelations of God flowed through the mouths of these men. Daniel wrote the prophecy about the four kingdoms and so on, you know that. Tremendous prophecy. It is because he experienced that powerful anointing in that place. We all have experienced that from time to time. One thing here, very important. The anointing breaks your carnality. and builds your spirituality. You understand that? Amen? I told you some of the tasks of the anointing, spiritual diseases, physical disease, and so on. And the carnality is there. And under the anointing, you will feel the carnality is being eroded. The carnality is being faded away from you. Young people, as a young people, I was a young person once in a while, and I know what carnality means. Even at this age, we can escape such feelings. We are not free from such carnal feelings. Thank God for the anointing. Hallelujah. Immediately you plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody, I don't know if anybody can say, I don't have anything like that. I'm always pure. My thoughts are always pure. Certainly I cannot say that at all. People, but one thing we can always come to the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for delivering me from that situation. Thank you, Lord, for making me turn away from that situation. I want to tell the young people, being filled by the Holy Spirit at a young age is like an immunity against the carnal desires. Did you get that, young people? Being filled by the Holy Spirit at a young age is like an immunity against the carnality. Which means, the young person, let's say, you are tempted to do something. If you are anointed, the anointing acts as a power, resistance against that temptation. I've experienced that. That's what I'm telling you, people. Young people, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Adults, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Not just once. Oh, they prayed and I spoke in tongues. No, that is not enough. It should be a continuous, progressive experience in our life, people of God. I tell you, that will really, really bless your life. Glory to God. You know, brethren, I really feel like praying for the young people, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we got time for that? Can we? Okay. I feel it's very important. As a young person, you know, whenever I stand before you people, you don't know how I feel so privileged and so blessed that God enabled me and my family to be in the United States and be with you, God's people. You know, you don't understand that. But we know how blessed it is. I'm not talking about the material thing, but the spiritual benefit that we received by being with you. And I want to thank God for that. Young people, as I was preparing this message, Lord, I really want our young people to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I know you have been filled by the Holy Spirit sometimes, but I want you to have that continuous experience in the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues. Don't be ashamed of speaking in tongues. Because speaking in tongues, speaking with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think. Speaking to God. You know, I feel our young people should be protected against the world. I feel emphatically sure that our young people should be fenced by the Holy Spirit. That they'll be strong. Can we stand up? Brother Clapton, could you come up, please? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 It's the anointing sent down from heaven. It's the anointing. Come, Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing that makes me whole. Please come, young people, even adults who need to be filled by the Holy Spirit, to have that experience in the Holy Spirit. Please come forward. We're going to pray for you.
That breaks the yoke. Come, Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing. Anointing sent down from heaven. It's the anointing.
Brother Rick.
Throughout years of walking with God, I was filled with the Spirit right at my toward the end of my teenage years. But there was many times that I was filled again, and the words that I have read on many occasions was that we are to be continually
yes.
filled until we are remarkably consumed. And I feel like this is kind of a different than just coming up because you've never been filled before. I think it's a new day
Man.
For this continually being filled with the Spirit. The Scripture says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." And he says, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I myself, and I know you do, sometimes get away from that.
Yeah.
We need to be to continually filled. So I think what Brother Matthews, and I ask him this, is kind of emphasizing tonight, that you may come up, if you have had struggles, you may come up if you want to be just anointed again. Just come up and stand before God and let Him just touch you again with that anointing and set you free so that you can be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? I mean, young, old, it is time for the church to be completely filled with the Spirit of God. This vine is surging through the branches with the Holy Spirit. We need to have that Holy Spirit be continually filled. So as we sing that again,
amen.
If you have that yearning to go on with God,
yeah.
You have that yearning to be free of not having this, to be able to walk this way, or even if you feel like you are that way and would like to have more. I need more.
Yeah.
The Spirit does so continually fill my life that I am completely consumed and remarkably controlled. And that's what we need, isn't it? So let's sing that again and open the altar for this to be what the Lord would have us tonight. And the brethren will pray the prayer over all. I don't know if it's just an individual, just all that want to have this new surge and this continual surge of the Holy Spirit. So we go to this camp, like he says, with the anointing.
Amen.
That breaks the yoke.
Hallelujah.
It's the anointing. It's up to you. And down from heaven. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The Holy Spirit and gently leads us. It's the anointing that makes us whole. It's the anointing. From heaven, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Come, Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing. Anointing sent down from heaven. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Come, Holy Spirit, and gently lead us. It's the anointing. This is a new day. We're traveling kind of in, and maybe even new ground here. It's not new ground for the Lord, but the brethren have confirmed that they feel this way. Also, that this is not just for one or two to be filled with the Spirit. This is for all who want to be remarkably controlled. And that means that you're not coming up as a new, you can, but you can come as an old timer. If the Spirit of God, or you're struggling with walking with the Spirit every day, or you just need the more of Him, this is, we're going to not pray for you individually. We're going to gather you around as a church and pray that God's Holy Spirit will fall on you. When they were in chapter 5 of Acts, when they had a problem with the man at Temple Beautiful and they brought him into the prison house and then took him before the magistrates and they beat him and everything and told him not to do this anymore, they went to their brethren and they prayed, "Oh God, we have been faithful in giving you a word, but now they are coming against the church. We now pray by your son Jesus, and we stand as one." And when they prayed that prayer, the place shook. And the Holy Spirit, these were people who were filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And they went from that place, singing and praising God and preaching the word and giving their testimony. And no matter what they face. And like Brother Ted said, if they're going to haul me to jail, I got my suitcase packed. Amen. So, church, we're here. We'll sing it again and get the last one in. We don't want to leave anyone out. You want to have that feeling? You want to have that power? You won't have more? Then we are one. We are one. We stand as one. One body, one church, one baptism, one Lord, one God, one Christ. It's the anointing.
Just come in a little closer. You know, when coals are separated, they tend to go out quickly. But when the coals are together, there's a burning fire. Amen? We're going to pray that this work that has started some time ago will continue. And tonight is just a spark, a further spark, and the glow of the Spirit of God. So I want you to just close your eyes. Focus on the Lord. As in the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came and just came through them and just filled their hearts and just overflow them with the Holy Ghost and power. I like the word Holy Ghost, by the way. Amen. The Holy Ghost and power. And that's what is going to keep us alive. That beautiful song is by the anointing. Jesus breaks the yoke. And I don't know, for some reason, if we are here with some yokes or some yokes at home and yokes of somebody that we know, we are going to pray that God breaks those yokes. But that yoke will have to be broken from within us first. That God breaks the yoke by the anointing. There's no other way. For Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance. This is what we're talking about. Amen. So let's believe God. Let's believe God. Reach out to the Lord. Focus on him as we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, for it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray you'll reach down your hands and touch us, dear God, in such a mighty way. Let the life coal of heaven touch our lips, touch our beings, O God. Ignite that flame and that fire afresh. Lord, for those of us who are cold and indifferent, may the fire of God just come ablaze in our hearts, that we may feel the touch once again. Lord, we need another touch. God, to go on, touch our lives, touch the boys, touch the girls, touch every husband, every wife, touch homes, touch those outside of this circle. Oh God, that you be, they are shaken and are coming together by your Holy Spirit. Let the anointing flow by your Spirit. The anointing flow, oh God, that anointing that flow down and even down upon Mount Hermon. Oh God, as the beard of Aaron, that oil that flow. Oh, anointing oil, flow upon your people tonight. Flow in Jesus' name, breaking yokes, bringing about healing, bringing about deliverance, bringing about miracles, bringing about restoration. In Jesus' name, we thank you for doing it, O God. Quicken us by your Spirit. Give us a fresh vision, O God. Bring us back to that place where we can just rest in your anointing, and Lord, that we can move on from here. Father, we thank you for the willingness of your people coming forward here and just yielding everything to you. And we thank you, Lord, upon the fulfillment of your word. You said, dear God, you will fill us. For this is the last days that you have spoken, and you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. We thank you for doing this now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And all God's people say,
Amen.
And some say,
Amen. Amen.
And others say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, God richly bless you. Thank you. You could go back to your seats. In the kingdom we are, I want to go on in the kingdom.
Thank you.
We can be seated. Just a quick little advice or counsel that the anointing does not stop here. The anointing is a continuous flow of the Spirit of God. When we go to our bedsides, we hunger and thirst after the Lord. Ask Him not just to fill us, but fill us to the overflowing. And He'll do it. He's promised that Holy Spirit, and He will give you the victory. For those of us who may not feel in our hearts that we are not being received, don't be discouraged. Sometimes our biggest hindrance could be our own selves. You just go before God and just give Him all and cry out. Talk to the Lord in your own way. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. I think the announcements.
The men will have a time of fellowship this week on Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3, and that will be in the Miller Room. That's where the elders and deacons meet. And from the cafeteria, if you're going in the cafeteria, it's just to the left. There's a series of rooms there. That's where the Miller Room is. Did you have an announcement?
Mm-hmm. You can stay there for a while.
I share a common bond with a young man in the audience today. Ben, come on up. Come on up, Ben. Every year in North Battleford Camp, since I was born, my birthday occurred during camp. And Ben is 18 today. I had to do it for you, Ben. I had to do it for you. If we could all stand, do you all know the happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you? Let's sing happy birthday to you, that version, to Brother Ben here. Happy birthday. No, the other one. The other one. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus every day of the year. A happy birthday.
Thank you.